Hour number two of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. I'm Chuck Rather. Thanks for staying with us. Got a lot of things that we can talk about here today on our Bible study, Ask the Pastor Hour. I do want to put out this invitation for those of you who have heard our study of the book of Revelation, which lasted over a number of weeks. I'm curious as to your reactions to that study. It's probably somewhere, somebody on the radio teaching the Bible study the way we teach it, but if there is, I don't know who that person is. It is very popular these days to take a linear and a literal approach to the study of Revelation. We do not do that here. We consider it to be what they call apocalyptic literature, and that sort of sets your feet on a different path altogether. And that's the way we approach the book, and it may be, if you found our Bible study here for the first time, that you heard things that you'd never heard before. I'm curious if there is anybody out there who would like to react to the way we did it, whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, whether it made sense. You're invited to call us here at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're also going to talk a little bit about Gaia today. You can use that telephone number to weigh in on that conversation, or if you want to bring up your own subject, you are certainly free to do that. Let's say good morning and welcome to Pastor Kirk Clayton, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoota. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well for a fairly bleak and dreary day in a wonderful St. Louis winter.
Now, we are in what is sometimes referred to, I think, as the Epiphany season, mm-hmm. that season between Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, and Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Have you had any new epiphanies in this season, Pastor, that you can share with us?
Well, ironically,
light bulb, anything like that?
You bring up Epiphany, which is about spreading the light on one of the dreariest days in the St. Louis area.
Maybe that's
that I
why
can
the,
remember.
Yeah,
it's just it's a dripping fog out there, and there's very little light, so we have to look to the light of Christ, who is the light of the world, the light that no darkness or fog can overcome.
But it's not cold.
So you know, I didn't mind the cold. I grew up in Minnesota. It felt like home.
Well, you're just crazy. That's your problem. I found this story on the internet, and I have to tell you, when it first popped up, the headline at the top of the page says, "Packed with GAIA." And I looked at that, and I thought, GAIA, what is that?
Government Agency for
International Affairs. Yeah. What is that? And then, they're talking about Gaia. Gaia is an idol, right? Can we say it that way?
Yeah, I think
Mother Earth.
As I understand, we would commonly refer to it as Mother Earth, but the idea that the world itself is a deity, usually in the female, and that's what Gaia refers to. Basically, looking at Mother Earth as a goddess who controls the lives of those who live on her.
Is that a problem?
Oh yeah. Seeing as how we would freely confess that there is but one God, Triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he is incredibly jealous of our attention.
Jealous?
And,
God is jealous?
Yeah, I think
Isn't it a sin to be jealous?
Oh, not when you're God.
Huh.
Not when you are truly worthy of all attention and all honor and all praise and all worship. You are not jealous when you expect that people give you what you truly do deserve. And God truly does deserve all honor, glory, worship, and praise. Gaia does not.
Well, you know, we use the term Gaia. We don't mean to imply that we're talking about the planet Earth as a deity, but let's face it, Pastor, we derive our being from the Earth. We have to breathe the air. We eat the food that the Earth produces. You know, we are blessed by the rain and the convection cycle, or whatever that's called, you know, that brings water and mm-hmm. rains on the crops and everything. And the planet's pretty important, don't you think?
Well, let's trace all of that back. does the earth simply bring forth its abundance on its own, or in the realm of Gaia, with the earth being female, on her own? Does the rain just fall on its own through the scientific mechanism of the water cycle and so on? No.
No.
You have to trace it all back. And eventually, one theory is you trace it back to the Big Bang. I mean, you have to have an origin and an initial cause for everything. The earth simply hasn't been here forever. Even the most hardcore atheistic scientist would say that the earth has a beginning, and you have to ask why. And eventually you have to get back to saying, where did the stuff that we see come from? Where did the energy that we see come from? And you have to eventually get back to first causes. Now, I would tend to get there a lot quicker than most scientists would, but I say simply the first cause is God. He has gotten the ball rolling, and he is the one who is the provider of everything. That when we receive the fruit of the earth, it's a gift from God. When we receive the water from the clouds and the rain, it's a gift from God. When we breathe the air that we breathe, it's a gift from God. When we feel the warm sunlight on our face, which we don't today, but still, it's a gift from God. It all goes back to being a gift from God's gracious hand.
So do you think that this is a real threat in American culture, and maybe even on the doorstep of the church? People who call themselves Christians and affirm Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but have sort of imported a kind of Gaia component into their personal religious system. Do you think this is a problem?
I think this is a problem on the fringes of the environmentalist movement in the United States and around the world, to say that, you know, if Earth is basically a goddess, then we should worship her by taking care of her well, and if we scratch Mother Earth's back, maybe she will scratch our back and give us, you know, a cooler temperature as opposed to global warming, and rain, and a steadiness of the earth to walk on instead of earthquakes.
I have some audio that I'd like to play here, and it is audio of the actor and activist and producer Danny Glover. He appeared on something called Grit TV. Actually, didn't appear, but his voice was on that website.
Can your voice appear?
I think so. No, probably not. Whatever it means to apprehend sound, which I guess appear is a purely visual term.
But I guess we don't say he sounded on TV.
Anyway, yeah. He was on the phone with an interviewer on Grit TV, and he was talking about the crisis in Haiti. Now, this is admittedly a telephone conversation. Mm-hmm. Might be a little bit difficult to understand. Lasts about a minute. We want to pay particular attention, particular focus on the end of this recording. Let's listen.
Several hospital ships. I mean, we should mount an effort. I mean, this should be, I mean, we have to mount a much larger effort than the USF. The USF definitely could be in the leadership. I believe this is going to be a defining moment for this administration. What we look for in a new relationship, in a partnership with Haiti, not one of dominance, not one in which it tries to extract even more from the pain of the Haitian people, but a new relationship. And I think that other countries in the region, I think Venezuela, Brazil, Cuba, and other countries have already stepped to the point of that. This is a great moment for another type of internationalism, you know.
Yes.
And I hope we seize this particular moment, because the threat of what happened to Haiti is a threat that can happen anywhere in the Caribbean to these island nations. Mm. You know, they're all in peril because of global warming, they're all in peril because of climate change and all of this. And we need to find this. When we did what we did at the climate summit in Copenhagen, this is the response. This is what happened. You know what I'm saying? But we have to act now.
All right, there it is. You know what I'm saying? Danny Glover says he seemed to make two points. One is we need a new internationalism, which is a political point, and we're not going to dwell on that. But the second seemed to be a spiritual point. And admittedly, I'm interpreting here. I want to see, Pastor Clayton, if you concur with this interpretation. But he seemed to suggest that by failing at Copenhagen, the climate conference there, and not coming out of Copenhagen, particularly the United States, not coming out of Copenhagen with anything of a real green result, that we got Haiti. We got an earthquake. As if Gaia was not happy with us that we didn't scratch her back at Copenhagen. Did you hear him making that point?
Well, I think there are two possible ways to understand this, and so maybe let's take a look at both of them. One that you suggest is that, we made Gaia mad, and now she's getting back at us. The other way, if we look at this from a, if Danny Glover is trying to channel a geologist here, he would be saying, when we see what we did at the climate summit in Copenhagen, this is the response. This is what happens. You know what I'm saying? If he's saying that the lack of results on global warming in Copenhagen led to the Haiti earthquake because earthquakes also are a result of global warming, I think he should be laughed out of any scientific community that there is. But that would be one interpretation of this, saying that the earthquake was caused by global warming and a failure of our response scientifically to global warming. That I think we can look at that as one possible option. And then when we rule that out and say, well, if he meant to say that, he is just utterly off base. The other option is saying, as you indicated before, that this is a form of Gaia worship, and we have made the goddess Gaia mad, and because we didn't act in Copenhagen to help preserve her and further her worship by lowering the temperature around the globe, therefore Gaia is upset, and in her fury she is causing tectonic plates to shift and bringing about the devastation in Haiti.
If Danny Glover were here, I suspect he would say, you didn't hear me use the term Gaia, you didn't hear me use the term worship. Who are you, Chuck, to put that on me? Okay, I'm not going to put that on you. But he did say, you know what I mean? He was sending a signal there intentionally. That's what you know what I mean suggests. And I think that signal was, we didn't do our duty in Denmark, and we are now being punished for it. Did you hear him suggest or imply that?
Yes, I think there's two alternatives in looking at the earthquake. Either you look at it from naturalistic causes, or you look at it from supernatural causes. And as I laid out before, if we look at this in natural causes, and Danny Glover says we didn't do our job in Copenhagen, and so therefore by natural causes of global warming, therefore the earthquake takes place. There's a lot of things that you can attribute to global warming, whether rightly or wrongly. I don't think earthquakes possibly falls into that category. So either you look at the cause of the earthquake naturalistically, or you look at supernaturally. And if Danny Glover is looking at this naturalistically as a result of Copenhagen, well, then, you know, I'm truly speechless on the inferences there. So then you'd have to be left to say that he's implying some supernatural displeasure with the result of Copenhagen and a wrathful response causing the disaster in Haiti.
Well, maybe he's right. Maybe the God of the Bible, we just finished studying Revelation. And in our conclusion of the study of Revelation, we sort of connected it up to the book of Genesis. We know that God made this earth, and he made all the systems that function in this earth. When he made it, he pronounced it to be very good, and we are to be stewards of this great gift of God, the earth. Well, you don't have to work too hard to argue that man has polluted the earth. Maybe God is mad. Maybe it's not Gaia. Maybe it's the God of the Bible who's upset with the way we conduct ourselves. And maybe he is distressed or put out with us because we didn't make any progress in Copenhagen. And maybe he sent an earthquake.
First, a note on the environmental movement. I don't think there's any question whatsoever, as you alluded to, that we have done a very poor job of being stewards of God's creation. Christians of all people should be very interested in the environment, as we are given the charge in Genesis of caring for the world that God has made.
There you go.
And we oftentimes have done a very poor job of that. Now, the problem with the environmental movement in the United States and often around the world is that it so distorts the role of man that not only are we not to be the caretaker, or that we've been poor at being caretakers of the environment, but we actually are the problem. And if mankind would just go away, the earth would do just fine on its own. And the environmental movement tends to have an overwhelmingly negative view of humanity, seeing humanity not as a gift and creation of God, but as a blight upon the earth. That's where I have a real beef with the environmental movement. But the basic idea of saying that we should be better caretakers for God's green earth, I am all in favor of that. And I love to see nature preserved and cared for well. I don't like seeing the, for lack of a better term, the rape of God's beautiful earth that we oftentimes see. And I would agree that we as Christians of all people should be caretakers of God's environment. But then you also said that, well, maybe it's because of this that we have not cared for the environment that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is mad and therefore sends the earthquake in Haiti. I would take a yes and no response there. I would say, yes, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in control of all things, including plate tectonics. But I would not go so far as to point a definite finger and say, this is God's wrath because of sins A, B, C, and D. Is all of the world in God's control? Yes, it is. Does God work all things for His glory and according to His power? Yes, He does. But can we, as fallible human beings, sit back and say He did it because of this reason? That's where I would start to differ.
Is it the Gospel of Matthew tells us that at the crucifixion of Jesus that there were earthquakes,
mm-hmm,
and the graves were burst open? And then there's that Old Testament story. It seems to me that Moses is coming down off the mountain after 40 days and 40 nights, and he's got the Ten Commandments, and he comes down and finds the people reveling with the golden calf, and
mm-hmm,
it's like the earth opens up and swallows up like 3,000 people or something. Is that the way the story goes?
There is a point where God does cause the earth to open up and swallow the sinful children of Israel at
so
that
sometimes
point.
Earthquakes are divinely ordained.
Mm-hmm.
We have examples in the Bible that God sends an earthquake,
mm-hmm,
correct?
And all forms of calamity and disaster. We in the 20th century, and for maybe 100, 200 years before that, have become very uncomfortable with laying any responsibility at God's feet for disaster. And we have come to almost paint a picture of God where He is too weak to prevent disaster. Far be it from us to say that God would cause disaster. We even now have gotten to the point of saying, well, God is so impotent that He can't even stop disaster. And if that is the God that we acknowledge, then how powerful is that God to save? A God who can't stop disaster also can't bring salvation. And
so
we painted ourselves into a tough corner there.
If I were to hold to a position that sounds something like this, look, God has sent us the prophet Al Gore, and he has revealed to us all we need to know about the extensive damage that we're doing as people on the earth. And to prove that he's a prophet, he got the Nobel Prize. And so this causes the mobilization of all the countries of the world at Copenhagen. And then what happens? The conference fails. And I think the evidence is clear, Pastor, that God is punishing us, punishing people for their failure to be good stewards of His planet. And that's how we got Haiti. How do you respond?
I have to apologize in advance for saying this, but that strikes me as an inconvenient analogy. I'm sorry.
Because?
No, to to address. No, it is a very good analogy. I just had to slip that in.
Touché.
But I think what we need to do is keep centered and keep focused. What is God's revealed will? I think you made the point of, isn't it clear that following the demise of the talks in Copenhagen that God would be mad? I don't have that clarity of insight into God's mind. The clarity of insight I have into God's mind is in His Word, where His revealed nature for us is that He wants to save us from a world of sin, corruption, and death, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, bring His eternal life to us in the new heavens and the new earth, where there is no more death, no more dying, where there are no more earthquakes, no more tsunamis, no more tornadoes, no more storms, no more bombings. And God's revealed will is not that He desires to punish people for the sins against Mother Earth, but He desires to save people from all of their offenses against Him and bring them to everlasting life with Him.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Phil, you're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Good morning. Hopefully you can help me with my way of thinking here. But I heard a news broadcast this morning that said that the people in Haiti are getting they're getting impatient and angry that they haven't gotten help sooner. And I can understand their pain. I really can. And it must be horrible for them. Also, the people in Katrina, they said that, you know, they didn't get help fast enough. It just seems like an ungrateful attitude, and as a believer, you know, I'm thinking if I was in that situation, I would just be thanking God that somebody's trying to help. And you know, even the president said, you know, we gotta hurry up and get there, so the same thing doesn't happen like Katrina, and he gets a bad name. I mean, am I wrong in this type of thinking? You know, do these people seem ungrateful, or what
do
you think?
We'll talk about it. Thanks for the call, Pastor.
I think what's being recognized here is that there are two problems. There's a lesser problem, actually, of collecting aid for the people in Haiti. The outpouring of support for the people in need in Haiti has been overwhelming, and the generosity has been extreme. The greater problem, I think, that's being faced is the problem of getting the aid from the countries that have given it to the people that need it in Haiti. And traditionally, I think this has been the greater problem. As you go into an area that's been devastated, for example, here in St. Louis, if we needed water, people could, you know, even if the water lines failed, they could drive trucks down the highway filled with water and set up distribution stations. What do you do in a country where there are no roads because they were destroyed by earthquakes? What do you do in a country where you can't drive on what roads they are because that's where all the sick and dead are lying, hoping to be noticed? And so the greater problem is getting aid to the people in need. Not even so much collecting the aid here, but getting it actually into Haiti. And we're now several days past the event, and if people have not had clean drinking water, if they've not had any food, if there's been no sanitation these times, problems are rapidly going to be getting worse. And Phil, I don't put these words into your mouth, but I would just encourage you to think as a person in Haiti who has probably lost their house. Perhaps maybe even your family has survived. Let's say you're a young family with young children, and you see as you hold your children in your arms that they're getting weaker. They don't have water to drink, and you know that within a matter of hours or days, if your children don't receive water and nourishment, they will die, not as a result of the earthquake, but as a result of the lack of clean drinking water and food afterwards. And I think if I were to put myself in that situation, it would not be an attitude of ungratefulness towards the people that want to help, but where do you turn just in the frustration of watching your family members who survived the earthquake itself perhaps die as a result of the complications following? And so I wouldn't want to pin an attitude of ingratitude upon them, but I can certainly empathize with their extreme frustration, and we can only pray that the Lord would open up the channels where the aid can get to where it needs to be, swiftly, effectively, and without corruption, and to do the most good for the most people.
If Danny Glover was in fact saying that the earthquake in Haiti was an outcome of the failure in Copenhagen, or if I, as a Christian, were to say the earthquake in Haiti is punishment for us for our bad stewardship. Is that a theology of glory?
In a twisted sense, yes.
Okay, hold on right there. We'll explain that on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family's Weekend Magazine. Coming up this weekend, how a teen girl found God in foster care, the impact of abortion on women and on men, and responding to a 14-year-old girl who wants to date. That's all coming up this weekend on Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Epiphany is neither a well-known word in American society nor a well-known season in the church. Yet the season tells stories that invite people to sing. Hear both the stories and the songs on the next Sing for Joy.
Sundays at noon on KFUO Radio.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Have you ever seen the fast-moving, slippery slope of euthanasia? Here's an excellent case in point. 4 years ago, the United Kingdom passed the Mental Capacity Act with the help of their Prime Minister, Tony Blair. The law meant to allow terminally ill patients the right to decline treatment. So far, so good, you say? Well, it went bad very quickly. Just 2 years later, a 20-something woman swallowed antifreeze to commit suicide and left a note for doctors not to treat her. The doctors did nothing to help because of the Mental Capacity Act. An investigation backed up the doctors. The net result has been that this act was used to legalize suicide in just a couple of years, and the door has been opened wide for euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide. A slippery slope indeed.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
A more urgent mission. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. Michigan-based Baptist Haiti Mission says its hospital near the epicenter of Tuesday's earthquake is open and doing the best it can to treat a flood of casualties. Mission board member Ron Sparks says,
people were being brought in from the countryside, and some of them died on the way there. Some of them, their injuries were too serious, and they were not able to be saved, and many others, of course, are able to be treated and released.
But Sparks says,
God is still there, just as he always is, so he's the one resource that we have that we cannot deplete and that does not abandon us. And so we're very thankful not only to have that and believe that ourselves, but to be able to pass on that assurance to others.
Sparks says Baptist Haiti Mission has more than 350 churches and schools throughout the country. Right now, he says the mission, like many other relief agencies, needs cash donations, and its medical team in Haiti needs prayer. I'm Steve Coleman.
She was 20 years old with her first baby, who was diagnosed as severely to profoundly handicapped. The recommendation? To institutionalize him so they could get on with their lives. Hi, I'm Phyllis Wallace. Roberta Bandy and her husband were young and on top of the world. What did they know? They knew they wanted to keep him. Was it the right choice? Find out when you hear A Mother's Search for Meaning. Next time, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
If you're unable to worship with your home congregation, we have several worship opportunities here at KFUO Radio. Other than our two Sunday morning services, we also have a live 5 p.m. Saturday worship service. This week's live Saturday evening service comes from Chapel of the Cross in North St. Louis County. Tune in and hear scripture, song, and prayer. Thank you for listening to KFUO Radio, and remember to worship live this Saturday evening at 5 from Chapel of the Cross, heard here on KFUO Radio and KFUO.org.
There's some folks who look at a calamity like Katrina, or a calamity like tsunami, or a calamity like Haiti, and believe that it is God's judgment on the world, God's specific judgment on the world, so that you can look at the devastation in Haiti, for example, and extrapolate backwards and find some kind of trigger behavior a sort of quid pro quo kind of a thing. Pat Robertson has already done that. And there are a lot of people who believe that. We have something called the theology of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you before the break if coming to the conclusion that the devastation in Haiti is a result of a failure at the climate conference in Copenhagen, or for that matter, some voodoo pact that was struck in 1791, or the United States being so awful and bad, consuming, you know, more resources per capita than anybody else in the world. But that would have to do with Haiti. I don't know. But
you bring something up there that if people say that, well, the earthquake is because Mother Earth is mad at the United States, then why did Mother Earth miss? If the problem is consumerism, why didn't Gaia send the earthquake in the heart of the consumerism instead of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere? She missed a little bit. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Well, and I think the person who is pursuing this line of thought would point to the fires in California and the floods in Iowa, and I could go on and on, mudslides. We could almost go state by state in some cases to say, yeah, it, you know, it is happening here already. I asked you if that was a theology of glory. You didn't say yes. You didn't say no. So I guess we got a qualified answer there. What's your qualified answer?
I think I said in a somewhat twisted and convoluted sense, yes.
So explain to me what a theology of glory is and why that theology of glory question fits in the context of this discussion.
Well, the reason I say it's kind of a twisted sense, but yes, is that the way we usually think of a theology of glory is that if we do good things, or if we worship God in the right way, or if we are fully in allegiance with God, and if we are really devoted to God, then good things will happen, the kind of underlying thought being because of the good things that we are doing. If we worship God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we won't get cancer. If we begin our business day with a time of devotion and prayer, then our company is going to crack the Fortune 500. That's a typical way of looking at a theology of glory. If we do things right, then we will get good stuff in exchange. That we scratch God's back, God scratches our back. That's the typical way we look at a theology of glory.
A valid or invalid theology?
Completely invalid.
Completely invalid.
Completely invalid. But the reason that I was fascinated with your question and saying it really spins this on its head, because now what we're saying is if we do bad things, then we incur punishment because of the bad things that we have done. It's the opposite of what we usually think of as a theology of glory, but it still is a theology of glory, because at heart we are still claiming to be the cause and the reason that these things happen. I heard a sermon a number of years ago. I didn't preach it, but it's very, very perceptive. It was probably perceptive because I didn't preach it. But the pastor pointed out that obviously it's pride when we try to take credit for the good things that happen around us. But he pointed out it's also pride when we try to take all the blame for the bad things that happen. And I hadn't really thought about pride in that sense before. Pride had usually been associated with a positive.
Who wants to take blame?
Well, in a twisted sense, we do, because we feel that if we can take the blame for something, we still have some measure of control over it. And if only we had done better, if only we had devoted more resources to this area, if only we had really committed ourselves here, things would have gone better. That also is a theology of glory, even though we are taking responsibility for the bad rather than claiming the motivation to cause the good. It's still a theology of glory. It's just working from the opposite direction from what we usually think. So I do agree. You're exactly right when we say that if we look at the earthquake in Haiti as something that we are responsible for because of our inactions on global warming or fill in the blank, whatever the cause is, that also is a theology of glory, and invalid theologically.
You know, when 9/11 happened, there was no small group of people, including clergymen, who stepped forward to say, well, how can you be surprised by this? Look at the way we're conducting ourselves in the United States. Let's look at the millions of abortions since 1973. Let's look at the wall-to-wall sexual immorality that we have and the drug abuse and all the crime. How can you be surprised by 9/11? That's a theology of glory assessment?
Yeah, and perhaps the most famous instance of this was Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson on the 700 Club on, I think it was September 13th, 2 days after the attacks. And Jerry Falwell said, what we saw on Tuesday, as terrible as it was, is God lifting the curtain and allowing our enemies to give us what we deserve. And he blames the ACLU, he blames the abortionists, he blames pagans and feminists and gays and lesbians and people for the American way. And he says we need to bear some burden for this because we're making God mad.
So was Pat Robertson misguided or wrong or dead wrong?
I would say misguided in the sense that we do say that God is in control of all things. God is all-powerful. And so the earthquakes, as well as the blessings that happen, are under God's control. Where I would say the assessments in the theology of glory are misguided is that we sometimes try to claim that we know why God does the things that he does. And that's where I would step away. Not to say that God is not in control, but to say that we as fallible human beings know why God chooses to act the way he does, that I don't have an insight into the mind of God to answer in black and white.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join this conversation, Herman, you're on the Bible study.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, two quick comments. The environmental movement in some aspects seems to want to put a high priority on the earth. Scripture says that God who created the earth will have it finally passed away in fire. The eternal aspect is going to be the eternal destiny of souls, of those created in God's image for whom Christ died as the second person of the Trinity incarnate. And there's a higher value there from the perspective of Scripture for the salvation of the eternal destiny of the human souls between heaven and hell. And as far as that Copenhagen conference, it's good that it failed. If it would have retarded the world economy and not had the resources, how could people go and help the Haitians down there without the resources generated by the larger world economy?
All right. Pastor, any thoughts?
Well, I think Herman does a good job of centering us on what is truly important, which is God's act of salvation and the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we face various disasters, it oftentimes is easy to take our focus off of Christ and his cross and his empty tomb. And Herman does focus us back there. I'm not so sure that I would go so far, and I'm no Green Party activist, but I'm not sure that I would go so far as to say that I'm glad that Copenhagen failed. I do support taking good care of the creation that God has given us. I understand what he's saying, that if we devastate our economies so that we are just as poor as the Haitians, we can't help. But again, I would not go quite so far in claiming to know what is best in God's will. So I guess I'd have a bit of a yes and no answer or a response there as well.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study.
Yes, Pastor. I'd like for you to reference 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 in answering my question. And my question is, are there any intrinsic evidences of God in the behavior of man or in nature? When men give help in time of need, isn't that intrinsically connected back to God? And I'd like, as you answer that question, kind of reference 1 John 3, 16 and 17.
All right, we'll talk about it. 1 John 3, 16 and 17.
Yeah, so, I have that here. May I read that
sure,
so that the listeners know what the reference is here? This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. I think that's a very perceptive passage to focus on, and I agree entirely that the world sees and experiences God's love in the love of the fellow man. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, can be of great assistance in the world when we live as Christ would live and as we love as Christ would love. And I do think that as the world sees the response of faithful Christians saying, well, of course I want to help with people in Haiti, and for that matter with people next door and down the block and in my own community, because the love of Christ would lead me to do no other, that is a tremendous experience of God's love and grace, and one that oftentimes the church has missed the boat on, much to the church's discredit. Now, in terms of connecting this to a theology of glory, I wasn't quite sure if James was heading in that direction or not, but I would agree entirely that the best way for the world to experience God's love is through the followers of Jesus Christ sharing that love.
Well, if it is a mistake to look at a calamity, a disaster, like the earthquake in Haiti, and draw a sort of this-for-that conclusion, this happened in Haiti because that happened in Copenhagen, or that happened in 1791, then the alternative to a theology of glory assessment would be a theology of cross assessment. Can the theology of the cross be applied to this question, or would that be a mistake too?
I think the way that I would approach this question is to say the earthquake in Haiti happened. It was a tremendous disaster. We don't know exactly why it happened. We don't know why God allowed, or even to push the envelope farther, caused this disaster to happen. And we tremendously mourn the loss of life there. We try to find the opportunity to share God's love in this situation. But we finally come back to simply placing our confidence in the assurance that God is loving and gracious. And as we turn to the promise of saying that God will work all things for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
I gasp. It's hard to gasp on the radio, but it's believed to be, conservatively, that 100,000 people died in that earthquake. 100,000 people. We'll see whether or not that number proves to be correct, but it's thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
And you've left the door open for God to have caused this? Did I understand you to say that? Gasp?
In pushing the envelope.
Pushing
yes.
the envelope.
Yes. The problem is, what is the difference between God choosing not to stop and God causing something? There's not really much of a distinction there. And the alternative is saying that, well, if the reason that God didn't stop the earthquake from happening is that God couldn't stop the earthquake from happening, then we have a God who is so weak and perhaps limp-wristed that he is no good for addressing any problems that we have in our life. If we have a God who is so unable to stop disaster on a worldwide scale, can he then stop disaster in our own life? Well, or if he can't stop it, can he help us even deal with it?
On the contrary, Jesus, the Son of God, said that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. So what happened in Haiti is just something that fulfills the prediction of Jesus. Jesus never said, after I ascend, there won't be any earthquakes anymore. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you'll have a problem-free existence. So we know that earthquakes are going to happen, but the assertion that they happen by God's permission or perhaps at God's direction is a little bit more troubling.
Well, and I have a passage here from Isaiah chapter 45, the end of verse 6 and verse 7, which is not something that we usually think of God in this way. God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity, we like that part, and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all of these things. I am the Lord, there is no other. And if we attribute the earthquake to Gaia or to a failure of our response to global warming or to our actions or inactions, if we don't eventually recognize the hand of God in this, then are we not denying that God is the only ultimate force and there is no other?
So Jesus clearly says, and even if you go back to Genesis 3, it's right there. From now on, you're going to have trouble. Your lives are going to be filled with trouble. And Jesus affirmed that truth that was first announced in Genesis 3, so that when James says, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, mm-hmm. which is precisely the situation we have mm-hmm. now, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?
Mm-hmm.
Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Get busy. Make it happen. Is the theology of the cross embedded in that scripture as it pertains to the disaster in Haiti?
Well, I would say that all we can do is to live the life that God sets before us. We don't control the causes. We don't control the results. We leave all that to God. We simply attempt faithfully to follow in the works of love that Christ sets before us.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Chet. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Pastor, I heard the scripture just quoted, I believe you said in Isaiah, about God creates disaster. But that seems a bit confusing. How would you explain that in contrast to the teaching that God is not the source of sin or God did not create evil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reference that you're looking for is Isaiah chapter 45. It's verses 6 and 7. I don't claim to understand all of the inner workings of God. And when we try to put God in a box of our creation and says he is this, therefore he can't be this when he also says he is. I can't put God in a box like that. I also turn to a passage such as in 1 Corinthians, where we see that God has used the foolishness of this world to bring to naught the wisdom of the world, and that the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And I simply have to throw my hands up and surrender and say, Lord, you say that you are both good and loving and just and bring punishment. And my fallible human brain can't reconcile these, and yet I simply acknowledge that God is greater and wiser than I and leave that in his hands.
Well, I can understand that, Pastor, but an unbeliever would have difficulty with the idea. It falls in line with the topic of this hour, that calamity is created by God as some form of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I posed the question up.
All right.
Yeah, and
thank you, Jeff.
There's no question that the topic we're dealing with is not a very popular one, but we're not necessarily called to be popular. We're called to confess what Scripture gives us to confess, and to some extent, let the chips fall where they may, and say that this is God's revelation and God's work. And I think that while Chet brings up a good point, that this is not going to be a terribly popular thought with unbelievers. Also, I think it's probably not a terribly popular thought with unbelievers either, that God is simply so weak that he has nothing to do or to say about this. And so we can't always please all people. In fact, we can't always please anyone. And so with no good alternatives, the only right answer is to be faithful to God's word.
Hi, Jan. You're on the Bible study. What's your question or comment this morning?
Hi, Chuck. I'm sorry. Hi, Pastor. I want to kind of piggyback off of Chet's just comment. No, God is not the author of sin, but God is all-powerful. I think we err when we think that when something happens and it affects us adversely, that that makes God bad. He's the author of the universe, and he understands what all of us needs when we need it. And if this tragedy motivates Christians to reach out with a hand of help and to use all their faculties to assist in this situation, then that is in his perfect will. The other thing is, the most important thing I got from our study of Revelation was that blessed is the one who is righteous. And who is that? Jesus. He is all our righteousness. The good that we do, God decided that we were going to do it when we got into him at the foundation of the world. And
pretty profound.
Yeah. Well, it's Ephesians. See, the devil wants us to not use what God has told us about his world and his salvation. You know, try and reason it out, and we're going to fail.
Thank you, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor, with your permission, I'm going to try to squeeze one more phone call in here before we run
sure.
out of time. Hi, Lael, you're on the Bible study.
Hi. Hi, Pastor. Good conversation. I just was going to say something about, you know, when man fell into sin, it affected all of creation, you know, the earth and everything. So it has to do a lot with just the overall aspect of what happened to sin, and the earth is groaning and birth pains too,
right.
So that, you know, we don't have control over that aspect of the deterioration of the earth and everything, but just the knowledge that God is in control of everything, and we have no control, we just trust in him.
All right, thank you. Pastor?
And by, as both, I think, our last two callers have pointed out, by sin came death. And when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they plunged all of creation into the curse of sin. And so while we don't lay specific causes at the root of these disasters, for example, as we've been coming back to Copenhagen caused Haiti, we would acknowledge that the wages of sin is death, and that all disasters are a consequence of our falling into sin from our first parents, and that we look to God as the one who then brings good from this. And in the face of death, we have confidence that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will rise and live.
We've got about a half a minute here. Does the church have a responsibility in Haiti, the people of God?
Absolutely. I think, was it James pointed out the passage from 1 John, that if we have the opportunity to serve and to do good, let us do that. Let us show the love of Christ that lives in us, even to the point of giving of our resources, giving of our time, giving of our energy, any way that we can help. Let us help, and let us show the love of Christ living in us, that we may proclaim his glory and his goodness through his love that others then can see living in us.
Pastor Kirk Clayton, Zion Lutheran Church in Muskota, thank you, sir. Appreciate your insights.
It's been a privilege to be with you.
Next week, we begin a study of the book of Numbers. We hope that you can join us then here on our Bible study program.
Listen to Chuck Ratherton guests Monday through Friday at this same time on the Bible study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the internet at kfuo.org. For a free copy of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.